Good morning. I'm Pastor Gillespie from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church and School, Sherman Center, Random Lake, Wisconsin. It is December 29th, 2020. Merry Christmas to you all. It is the fifth day of Christmas. Yes. This week is vacation week for our day school children. And so what we're doing this week, I didn't say this yesterday, I could have, is that we are considering some of the Christmas texts around Christmas, but we'll actually do a more intense catechesis on them next week, all right, with the children. So today, we're going to look at the purification of Mary, or the presentation of Mary. This is actually a feast day of the church here. It's one of the four feasts where we remember St. Mary, and it falls on February 2nd, but we will not be doing catechesis on that day on the text. So we'll do it now, and actually next week a little bit too. So we'll be all ready for that feast day, which falls on Tuesday, February 2nd, Groundhog's Day. All right, looking forward in my schedule. Good. Let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Virgin Mary, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand, God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We say our memory verse together. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Galatians 4, verses 6 and 7. All right, our psalm this week is the first part of Psalm 104, verses 1 through 15. Let me say it together. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as with a garment, stretching out the heavens like a tent. He lays the beams of his chambers on the waters. He makes the clouds his chariot. He rides on the wings of the wind. He makes his messengers winds, his ministers a flaming fire. He set the earth on its foundations so that it should never be moved. He covered it with the deep as with a garment. The water stood above the mountains. At your rebuke, they fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took flight. The mountains rose, the valley sank down to the place that you appointed for them. You set a boundary that they may not pass, so that they might not again cover the earth. You make springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. Beside them, the birds of the heavens dwell. They sing among the branches. From your lofty abode, you water the mountains. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work. You cause the grass to grow for the livestock and plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth and wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine and bread to strengthen man's heart. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Our first reading today is from Isaiah chapter 49. Listen, O coastlands, to me, and take heed, you peoples from afar. The Lord has called me from the womb. From the matrix of my mother, he has made mention of my name. And he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he has hidden me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver, he has hidden me. And he said to me, You are my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and in vain. Yet surely my just reward is with the Lord, and my work with my God. And now the Lord says, Who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, so that Israel is gathered to him. For I shall be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. Indeed, he says, Is it too small a thing that you should be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the preserved ones of Israel? I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, their Holy One, to him whom man despises, to him whom the nation abhors, to the servant of rulers. Kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, and he has chosen you. Thus says the Lord, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. I will preserve you and give you as a covenant to the people, to restore the earth, to cause them to inherit the desolate heritages, that you may say to the prisoners, go forth, and to those who are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed along the roads, and their pastures shall be on the desolate heights. They shall neither hunger nor thirst, neither heat nor sun shall strike them, for he who has mercy on them will lead them, even by springs of water he will guide them. I will make each of my mountains a road, and my highways shall be elevated. Surely these shall come from afar. Look, those from the north and the west, and these from the land of Sinim. Sing, O heavens, be joyful, O earth, and break out in singing, O mountains. For the Lord has comforted his people, and will have mercy on his afflicted. There ends the reading. Makes me think of that classic Christmas hymn. One that we don't sing probably just because it's not that familiar to people. Break forth, O bounteous, beauteous light, heavenly light. Yeah, it's right there. All right, our reading today, gospel reading, is from Luke chapter 2. Now, when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. There ends the reading. For our catechesis today, we're going to do our normal question and answers next week on this text, next week, Monday. But today, Tuesday, I thought it'd be helpful to introduce you to this book. It's a thick book. It's called The Christian Year of Grace, and the subtitle, The Chief Parts of Scripture Explained in Questions and Answers. So the tradition of this question and answer style of catechesis, it's quite old. This is from Johann Spangenberg, who is he's like a generation after Luther. He was born in he's a contemporary of Luther. Sorry. He was born in 1484, just a few months younger than Luther. And so he wrote this for catechumens by taking Luther's sermons and then turning them into questions and answers for the people of his church in Nordhausen, all right, not far from Eisleben. Pretty cool. And I find it to be quite a helpful resource to try to get to the bottom of distill Luther down. All right. So he asks, what is the subject of this gospel? And the answer, the law of purification and the offering of the firstborn in the temple and the prophecy of Simeon. What does the law say about purification? Okay. It is written in Leviticus 2 that if a woman bears a male child, she shall remain at home 6 weeks until she is purified. She shall touch no holy thing and shall not come to the sanctuary. But if she bears a female child, she shall remain at home 12 weeks. All right, so 6 weeks if male and then go for purification. Female, 12 weeks. What do we find in this law? Two things that seem to us almost unfitting. First, a new mother was regarded as unclean, even though marriage is God's work and the infant that is born is God's pleasing creation. Second, she was to offer 5 shekels of silver, or quarter golden, actually is what he wrote, for a lamb, a pair of turtle doves, or 2 young pigeons in exchange for the firstborn. But setting aside the Jews for a moment, it used to be held in the church that new mothers were not members of the church, but were cut off at that time and in the power of the devil. It used to be held. Note. This led to the abominable superstition of sprinkling water and salt, burning candles and incense, and making many signs of the cross on the doors and the windows so that Satan would not be able to gain entrance. All right, so that's medieval piety. Kind of crazy stuff, right? Is it true, then, that a new mother is in the devil's power? God's meaning was not that a new mother was in the devil's power, for God laid that cross on the woman in Genesis 3. And on whomever God lays a cross, he also promises to help him bear the cross. Thus, St. Paul says, the woman is saved through childbearing, 1 Timothy 2. So, if they are saved through childbearing, how can they be in the devil's power? Answer, not. Thus, Christians should put away such false interpretations and believe with certainty that new mothers who are Christians enjoy God's guarding and protection most at that time. And the greater their weakness, and the more severely they are bedridden, the closer the watch God keeps on them. And if they depart from hence, they die in God's work, and they prosper, for they are children of eternal life. It'd be quite a comforting word, with not only infant mortality, but also maternal mortality, right, in their day. I'm going to skip this bit about water, salt, palms, and candles, and banishing the devil. Yeah, we don't need to read that. Did the law of Moses apply to the Virgin Mary? No. The law describes a woman who has conceived and given birth by a man, but Mary remained a virgin before, during, and after birth, and quite apart from the common way of other women conceived by the Holy Spirit without the involvement of a man. Therefore, Moses has no authority over this virgin. With her churching and purification here, she showed her great humility and love, acting like other women, went to the temple, offered her fitting sacrifice, and thereby served other women, and teaches us by this example that we too should, for the sake of love, often do what is not required to do, as long as it may be done without burdening the conscience. Right. What does the law then say about the offering? It says further, when the days of her purification are fulfilled, she shall bring for her son or daughter a yearling lamb as a burnt offering and a young dove or turtle dove as a sin offering. But if her hand cannot provide a lamb, she shall bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons, one as a sin offering and the other as a burnt offering, and the priest shall make atonement for her that she may become clean. Leviticus 12. What do we find in this law? Two things. First, for whom the offering was to be done, namely for the firstborn. Second, what kind of offering it was supposed to be, namely a lamb, a turtle dove, or two young doves, and if they could not be provided, two turtle doves and two young pigeons. What does the law of God then say about all the firstborn? It is written, Exodus 13, every firstborn among men and animals you shall sanctify to me, for they are mine, says God. Why did God give this commandment to the Jews? For three reasons. First, that they might be mindful of how he struck down all the firstborn in their exodus from Egypt, both men and animals. Second, that the priests and Levites might have their living from it, since they had no inheritance in the land. Third, that he might remind us of the true firstborn, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is firstborn of all, in whose blood we are cleansed and sanctified. Did this law then apply to Christ? No, Christ is Lord of every law. He served us with it, that he might satisfy the law. As St. Paul says, Christ was not subject to the law, thus Christ stood in our place and fulfilled the law on our behalf. Galatians 4. Has the law been abolished then? With respect to justification, the law has been abolished. This is why St. Paul says, you are not under the law, but under grace. Romans 6. So that by grace and through the merits of Christ, you have forgiveness of sins, righteousness, and blessedness. But as far as the obedience of faith is concerned, we are required to do what is becoming of Christians and the children of God. All right. Oh, I should read you about the candles and the palms and the song. You know, all this pious stuff that Christians do, that's what's getting after here. Mary did not need to do them, right? The purification was for, normally for women who gives birth to children. But it is interesting to note that she still did the thing because it would not burden her conscience, simply offering sacrifice to God, not under the demand of the law, but simply out of charity or love for her neighbor, right? Rather than to cause scandal or offense to her neighbor. And that's something important to remember, that there is a great deal that we are willing to set aside if we can come done without sin for the sake of our neighbor, right? Helpful instruction for both pastors, but also lay people alike. All right, very good. Let's confess the third article's explanation. We might as well confess the third article too. Let's say it all. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. What does this mean? I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith, In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. Let us pray. O Holy Spirit, who proceeds from the Father and the Son to give life and salvation to the world, who together with the Father and the Son we worship and glorify as the only true God, receive our thanks and praise for proclaiming Christ to us through the preaching of the gospel and gifts of the holy sacraments. Faith in Jesus Christ our Savior, hope in the resurrection of the body and life everlasting, and love for God and our enemies are all your creations and gifts to us through the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name. Preserve the Holy Christian Church among us through the faithful preaching of the gospel and the right administration of the sacraments of Christ. Bless the communion of saints, that every baptized Christian, sharing in Christ's love through the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name, might abide in Christ and bear witness to his love in all that we do and say. Give us firm hope in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting, so that we might faithfully endure persecution for Jesus' sake and suffer all, even death itself, rather than fall away from him who gave his life for us. Hear us, O Holy Spirit, for you live and reign with the Father and the Son, one God, now and forever. Amen. All right. On this Tuesday, let's pray for deliverance against temptation and evil, for the addicted and despairing, for the tortured and oppressed, and for those struggling with sin. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Pray the Lord to give to all people concord and peace. Preserve our land from discord and strife. Give to our country your protection in every time of need. Direct and defend our president and all in authority. Bless and protect all our magistrates and people. Watch over and help all who are in danger, necessity, and tribulation. Protect and guide all who travel. Grant all women with child and all mothers with infant children increasing happiness in their blessings. Defend all orphans and widows and provide for them. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. We pray for those who are ill, receiving treatment, or recovering, especially Marcella, Jan, Kelsey, Reverend Herzog, Billy Joe, Brad, Janet, and Timothy, Pastor Lindau, Sandy, Linda, Joan, Ken, Penny, and Roman, as well as his family. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Pray for our homebound, Bev, David, Willis, and Janice, and Mickey, our mission of the month, place of refuge, and Sheboygan County Hispanic Outreach. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Pray the collect for this week. O God, our Maker and Redeemer, you wonderfully created us and in the incarnation of your Son yet more wondrously restored our human nature. Grant that we may ever be alive in him who made himself to be like us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Today is also the commemoration of David, patriarch, the greatest of Israel's, the king and patriarch in a way. The greatest of Israel's king ruled from about 1010 to 970 BC. The events of his life are found in 1 Samuel 16 through 1 Kings 2 and in 1 Chronicles 10 through 29. David was also gifted musically. He was skilled in playing the lyre and the author of no fewer than 73 psalms, including the beloved Psalm 23. His public and private character displayed a mixture of good. For example, his defeat of the giant Goliath and evil, as in his adultery with Uriah's wife, followed by his murder of Uriah. David's greatness lay in his fierce loyalty to God as Israel's military and political leader, coupled with his willingness to acknowledge his sins and ask for God's forgiveness, 2 Samuel 12, also Psalm 51. It was under David's leadership that the people of Israel were united into a single nation with Jerusalem as its capital city. We pray. God of majesty, whom saints and angels delight to worship in heaven, we give thanks for David, who through the Psalter gave your people hymns to sing with joy in our worship on earth, so that we may glimpse your beauty. Bring us to the fulfillment of that hope of perfection that will be ours as we stand before your unveiled glory. through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. All right, we sing our hymn, Lutheran Service Book, hymn 389, Let All Together Praise Our God.
Let all together praise our God before his glorious throne. Today he opens heaven again to give us his own Son. To give us his own Son. He leaves his heavenly Father's throne, his born an infant small, and in a manger poor and lone lies in a humble stall, lies in a humble stall. Within an earth-born form he hides his all creating mind. To serve us all he humbly cloaks the splendor of his might, the splendor of his might. He undertakes a great exchange, puts on our human frame, and in return gives us his realm, his glory and his name, his glory and his name. He is a servant, I a Lord, how great a mystery. How strong a tender Christ child's love, no truer friend than he, no truer friend than he. He is the key and he the door to blessed paradise. The angel bars the way no more, to God our praises rise, to God our praises rise. Your grace in holiness revealed, Lord Jesus, and praise to God the Father yield, and Spirit evermore. We praise you evermore.
That concludes our congregation prayer for today, December 29th, 2020. Merry Christmas to you all. Again, the book I was using here is called The Christian Year of Grace. It's Concordia Publishing House. I don't remember what year it was published, quite a few years ago. And again, this was the most popular devotional book for Christian Lutherans at the time of the Reformation. Just another little note here. Luther wrote the preface for the work, focusing on the need to study God's word diligently in order to proclaim the mystery of Christ. Right, so it was written for lay people and for pastors. The volumes of this work appeared 56 times in print in German. 56 times they reprinted. This volume of sales suggests that pastors found these questions and answers good guides for their own preaching, and that parents found them helpful for devotions with their children and servants. All right, which is a really important note, that the primary responsibility of teaching the faith in the scriptures is not given to pastors. Sorry. Proclaiming the word, proclaiming the good news, forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name, perhaps. But teaching the scriptures was given to parents because that's where it's best done. And so if you need resources like this one, would be a great resource to do that. And other devotional resources, we have many. My office is surrounded with them. You can't even see them all up here either. All right. And I can recommend any number of them, or just continue to join us for Congregation of Prayer and or use it to guide your own devotions in your home. All right, Lord be with you all, and we'll see you again tomorrow.